we could go into the horror episode we thought we were going to maybe do, where we talk about horror movies today. Or what I also thought is kind of an episode about originality. So I'll leave that.
Originality.
Okay. So here.
No, I didn't pick that. I was just, it was an interesting thought.
Dude, that's not how you make a choice.
wait, let me explain something to you. I'm the dude.
What is it?
It's the one that said bad motherfucker.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
We're sending you back to the future.
Welcome back, cinephiles, movie friends and family, and followers of all things film. I am your host, Nick Drake.
And I'm Jordan O'Moore, and this is Flick of the Week. We are the guys who talk about movies. That's what we're talking about today.
And apparently Jordan has some ideas.
Yeah, well, I think that I just wanted to start by kind of pointing out what I think is a pattern, it's an old pattern, but I wanted to know what your thoughts were. I was watching, the other day? I forget, but
I'm starting to see a pattern.
Yeah. Starting to see a pattern here. No, I was watching an old movie from like the early 2000s.
Old.
I know, right? Well, it's getting there. Honestly, what do you depict to be an old movie? Like, I think if it's 15 years old, it's old, right?
I guess now, because there are like remakes of movies that aren't even that old. Like, it used to be something like only the last generation could have experienced.
Well, you know, like
today, but not anymore.
In this day and age, a Batman franchise ages out faster than your MacBook Pro. Or your iPhone.
That's true. I'm sure there's like a lot of like people sitting in like a genius bar laughing at that joke.
All right. but no, I just noticed a pattern in, and maybe it's true, maybe I'm just crazy, from the late 90s into early 2000s is like rom-coms. Or like romantic movies in general, they would like end at a baseball game. With the getting, you know, like the proposal would happen at a baseball game or a sporting event.
I think that's like kind of where that Fever Pitch movie might have came from. The Farrelly brothers, the guys that made Dumb and Dumber, with Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore. I think maybe they caught wind of that too, and that came out, you know, kind of. I mean, that might have been one of the last ones that I've seen. That were like that, so maybe you got something there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one that comes to mind immediately is Anger Management, and that was like
Anger Management. what was the one with Angelina Jolie? She get like hit in the head, and Tony Shalhoub was in it. I'm gonna IMDb it right now. You know, and that one like ended at a baseball game.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the most recent one.
Summer Catch with Frankie Prince Jr. and Jessica Biel. Baseball all the way through, ends at a baseball game.
Isn't it Freddie Prince Jr.?
What did I say?
Frankie?
I thought Frankie Muniz. Hey, I saw that guy's like in a new movie on Amazon or something. I'm like, God, I thought that guy was done.
Well,
but then I looked him up and he's been working like not like a whole lot, but every year he's doing something.
Just enough.
Just enough. Like, that's my motto in life. Just good enough.
Just get up out of bed. Speaking of, my cat's such a hypocrite. I have a cat now. I don't know if I told you that.
No, you didn't.
And for the audience out there, this is a remote show. It doesn't sound like it, but we are remotely calling in and talking to each other. So Nick
remotely
doesn't.
Potting, remotely calling. We're remote. Some would say we're remotely friends. Anyway, you were saying.
No, my cat's
life or something like it. That's what it was. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's a good one. I have to rewatch that one.
With Edward Burns when he was someone.
Jeez. No, my cat's a hypocrite because he sleeps all day, but then this morning my alarm goes off twice, and then he's fucking meowing. He's just meowing like crazy. Like, get up, get up. I'm pretty sure that's what he meant, because I got up and I fed him and I went back to bed. And then he's meowing, 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 and then I get up and I'm walking around like, what? What the hell? And he's looking at me. And now he's asleep. Now I'm up and he's asleep.
So I'm married into dogs. I had a dog growing up and I loved that dog, but there's really, like, people think you're not a dog person when you don't like their dog. Is what I've come to realize. I'm like, no, I like dogs, but I don't like the way you raised your dog and the fact that I have to fucking like it. So I married into dogs that I don't like, and they bark when they have to eat, but they also bark when they have to go out, which I assume a cat doesn't have that problem.
No, but this, I mean, not to go too off subject of movies, but this cat, like, is... It kind of acts like a dog in that way, that's like, okay, you're meowing because of something. Like, he's not just talking to me.
Like, he's like, hey, somebody's broken.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering what's going on. Like, he's meowing, and I think it's almost always about a treat. He's just a spoiled brat. He just wants treats, but...
That must be a brat.
Back to the subject, though. Trainwreck, 2015. Didn't that end with a sporting event?
I thought it was all basketball. Wasn't like, yeah, it was like all basketball. She was like a basketball cheerleader at the end of the movie.
Well, it doesn't.
And LeBron James.
The pattern doesn't have to be limited to baseball games, but I think that's the biggest cliche. But like sporting events, you know, like they're like doing the proposal at the sporting event. I feel like that's what I'm getting at.
If it's not soccer, it's like they want you to feel like an American. So they're getting that across, and it, you know, I don't mind it too much, because it's like every other one's like a bar or some dumb thing where they bump into each other that nobody ever bumps into in everyday life.
The other movie cliche is when the one of the characters stops the other just as they're about to get on a plane and they're at the gate. It's like, yeah. You can't do that one anymore. TSA
won't let you. $400 for this, so like I gotta go.
And the other person's like, "Well, I paid $400 and went through 35 minutes of TSA just to hear you say no." So
and be like, you couldn't have called. I fucking have dinner plans, man."
Text. You know, it's fucking 2019. You could have texted me.
Something. But,
yeah, so I thought that I'm starting to see, because I've been on, you know, Netflix and Amazon watching a lot of the older, or like the, I guess my favorite era of movies right now that I've been watching is probably 1995 through 2005, just like watching those movies.
I love those movies.
Right?
Grew up on those movies.
So good. And
they're just like, just charming enough to kind of peel that away from the 80s and lead into something modern.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the other pattern that I noticed, and what brought up all of this, is I was on IMDb just kind of looking around, and I noticed there's a new trailer for a new ensemble love story called Modern Love.
Really? I just saw the trailer for Stranger Things 4.
No way.
And I was like, is it going to happen? And I was like, Hopper's fucking alive. I'm telling you. And then they were like, well, we think we might end it at 3. And then I saw that today and I had like a movie boner. I was like, yes.
It's on, it made IMDb?
I saw it on Instagram for Netflix's IG. So.
Okay.
It's like, wow. We're not in Hawkins anymore. I was like,
clever. Clever.
What if the Upside Down reached the real world? That's where I was like, that would be a fucking cool season.
You know, I don't know. That's another one of those shows, or another one of those things of this modern era that has... it took a while to grow on me. Like, I wasn't in... Everyone was all about Stranger Things with the first season. They're like, it's so nostalgic. And I think you were one of the people that was like, you know, you got to watch this. You're going to love it. And then I did. I watched the first episode and I went, meh. It's like, you know, they're dipping their toe in waters that I like, nostalgic waters. and I didn't like it, but now I love it. I don't know how that works, but
I think you just have to go in knowing that it's being made by people who love those movies, and yeah. It makes it that much better, because it's not people just taking it from a writer who did and doing what they want. They flat out want to make every episode as best they can with those times. And to go back with the cliches, it's like they're only adding the best ones in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Is this show about tropes? Is that what we're kind of leading into?
Tropes,
here?
Yeah, I think that's what's going into it. Well, so on the Stranger Things note, I got two things. Don't try to remind me that there's a second thing if I forget. But first thing, who is your? Remind me. I have I have the short term memory loss.
And then
who are you
one
again?
One more. Okay.
What is your favorite character
from
Stranger Things? Hopper?
Yeah.
I'd have to say, I gotta open up the cast list because I'm terrible at names.
Finn Wolfhard is the main one kid that dates 11.
Yes, he's my favorite. I was about to open that. And
Millie Bobby Brown. And then besides 11, the adults, those are the only names I know of actors.
Well, his name's Mike Wheeler.
Right, in the show.
The character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's my favorite, like, kid actor right now. And, it like, he just blew it out of the ballpark with It Chapter 1. I was like, oh, so good.
I know, and I heard hilarious. He's in something else that's kind of going to be a big deal. Was it the new Ghostbusters or something, I think?
His name sounds so fake, though. It sounds like he just made that up out the gate. He's just like, oh, I'm going to get the Stranger Things thing. I better change my name. Finn sounds cool. Wolfhard? It's Wolf's Hard.
Does anybody have Wolfhard? All right, that's mine.
It's mine.
He's like a kid that was like trying to search for a username that was already taken. Wolfhard1? Wolfhard_1. Yes!
So he's in Goldfinch. And
I saw that. Yeah, he's that and... what's his name from Baby Driver's in that? Looks really good.
Yeah. I've been meaning to see that. It looks good. He was also in...
That guy's got a weird name too, if I remember right.
Oh, Goldfinch guy?
Yeah.
Let's see. What is that guy's name? Ansel Elgort?
Ansel Elgort.
Elgort? I think it's like Eggert. I think
well, if there was ever a household name, it's gonna be that.
Oh my god! Oh man! Great actor though. Can't just bash his name and not say that he's fucking great.
Some actors can coast on being okay. That guy could never do that with that name. So, like, he's got to bring it.
True. So, on another note relating. To, TV shows and binge-worthy things. Do you watch or have you watched Breaking Bad?
I love Breaking Bad.
So
I watched
El Camino.
It on its first run. Yeah.
What do you think
good.
About El Camino? What are your predictions?
Somebody, it's like amazing how, like, you're saying like, did you like it? And I realized that I must have been a really good fan because I have like a really good memory with that show. And, like, people, mm-hmm. like, flat out forget episodes, but, like, so many episodes tie into other episodes. Mm-hmm. And I found it so interesting. And I was watching it with my father-in-law, who, he calls himself kind of a fan. And he's like, that wasn't Jesse Pinkman. I was like, no, that was Skinny Pete. Remember?
Just mixing up characters
yeah,
completely?
Yeah, and I was like, I wonder if, like, a lot of other people don't even remember Skinny Pete.
Yeah.
he was one of the original dudes.
Yeah. No, I remembered him because when I was watching that show, I was like, that guy looks like he's like visually perfectly cast, but he's a terrible, I hate to say it, he's a terrible like performer. Like I think maybe he's gotten better since he was in the original season, but that first show, Breaking Bad, like his first few times acting, I was like, ugh.
Well, sucks. I mean, isn't he, wouldn't you still call him kind of in his infancy with acting? I think he's still relatively a young guy. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
I wonder his backstory because he's like, he looks
He's like one of the, like, guys who directed Drug Dealer or something.
Well, he could be that's like just somebody that somebody knew that was like, you know, like a reformed person. Just kind of like, you know, Jay, from Jay and Silent Bob. What's his name?
Jason Mewes?
Jason Mewes, yeah. He's like his career is as a result of his friendship with Kevin Smith. Yeah. And had he not had that friendship, he'd probably be in an alley somewhere because he had a bad past. You know, he had a bad, he was into mixed up with drugs and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, I could have gone with so many other people too. I mean, think about Tom Arnold. Where would he be? Without Tom Roseanne.
Oh, yeah. <That's>... Oh, man. But no.
Maybe even Angelina Jolie without John Voight. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Well, what do you... So what do you think about El Camino? Where do you think the story's going?
I don't know. I would think there's some sort of name clearing that would be attached. But other than that, I'm actually kind of happy to be ignorant. And I have been for a while. Yeah. Like, I only try to watch the first trailer of movies now because so many of them ruin movies. And I'm like, that's just an extra 4 or 5 minutes that now is not new to me. That would have been cooler the first time.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of coming from. I saw there's a new trailer and I was like, nope, I'm going to wait it out.
Well, yeah, I guess the funny thing is, so Clayton's fiance, Clayton's my neighbor and good friend. He was actually on episode one of Flick of the Week, if you guys go back.
Right. And episode one is now Joker right now or two?
No, so if you guys ever look at, depending on where you're looking at the podcast. So if you look at Apple Podcasts or on iTunes, it numbers the episodes based on the most recent is number one. So, like, it says number one, but then on the right, the way we've numbered it, it's like number 18. So what we're going to do from here on out is probably like an episode like this is just like a one-off conversation. Those are going to be unnumbered. But the Saturday episodes that are our official ones where we have our segments and our, like, we do research on a specific topic, those will still be numbered. Those will be the standard numbering system. But these will remain unnumbered. So just for future note, if you're listening, but anyways, Clayton's, fiance Paula, she works, exclusively on like a Netflix contract. I don't know if I told you this.
I thought you were gonna tell me like out of the back of like an RV making blue meth or something for a second there.
Yes. This is how we live in LA. It's how we manage. No,
and also, you know, how many roses are the rocks?
But she works, so she works for a company that their main contract is Netflix. So she gets to see like the trailers way early and works in conjunction with that material.
Cool.
So like, I think it was months ago that Clayton and I were just going to the gym and he's, you know, looks at me and he goes, did you know there's going to be like a Breaking Bad movie? I know the title. And he's like, do you want to know it? And I'm like, no. And he just told me. And I'm like, God damn it.
All right. I won't tell you until Camino. Oh.
he keeps dropping information on me that I don't want. So I can't even do what you're doing. I can't even be ignorant.
Hey, he's a nice guy, okay? Stop being so hard on him.
Mm-hmm. That motherfucker. But, yeah, I've seen all the trailers. I kind of, you know.
Kind of. That's cool.
Have you? So you just seen the first one, huh?
That's it. Just the first one. It comes out beginning of next year.
No, I think it's like next month.
Oh, really? Right. That soon? Let's see. Wow.
Let's take a look. El Camino. Let's see. Yeah, October 11th.
Wow. So. That's only in a couple weeks. Wow. Yeah. Not even.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I won't spoil the trailer for you, but it's pretty dope. I just think it leaves you wondering. It's really open to interpretation. Like, what the fuck is this story? You know, which direction is this going? It's definitely different from the show. I think that they had a lot of time to think about this, and I'm excited.
So it could be kind of trope-free, being that it's fresh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Really am.
What was the second thing you were going to say?
That was the second thing, was bringing up El Camino. I caught myself. Who are you? What's my name again?
Hi, I'm Tom.
Fucking 10-second Tom.
What other tropes do we hate?
Well, that's what I was going to bring up is going back before we talked about these Netflix things is that modern love movie. Is just, I was watching the trailer and I'm like, this seems like a departure from where things are going. It feels like we're going backwards, mm-hmm. because it's an ensemble rom-com. And there were tons of those in the 2000s as well. You know,
it's like all they
like
used
Love
to make
Actually.
And, well, people are starting to like kind of forget where certain actors came from. And there was like a lot of distaste for current actors now that have been given a second chance, especially by male audiences. Like, mm-hmm. the names that come to mind are like Ryan Reynolds, like only rom-coms at one time. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey did like nothing else forever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Matthew McConaughey's in it? I'm not going to watch it. Now I'm like, really? And he's a detective? And Woody Harrelson's in it? Fuck yeah.
Dude, that's a show worth rewatching.
Have you seen the new season?
First season? Yeah.
Way better than the second season.
Yeah. But it still pales in comparison to the first season being just a work of art, that show. Oof. Work of art.
So I'm looking at this modern love thing. Is it with Anne Hathaway and Tina Fey?
Yeah.
It's a show.
It's a show? What?
Yeah, it says it's a TV series. Andy Garcia's in it, too.
So the trailer did not... It played out like it was just a big ensemble movie. Well, I guess maybe that's how they're doing it, making it fresh. They're taking the old trope and making it fresh. Okay. I eat my words.
Maybe. There's like a lot of names attached to this.
Tons,
It's got the chick from Ozark in it. It's got Catherine Keener. Sophia Boutella, the mummy... Wow, the lion guy, the Slumdog Millionaire's in it. Like, wow.
I like how some people are their own name, and other people are just like the Ozark girl, the lion guy. You know, like.
Well, because if I said Dev Patel, people would like shake their head and be like, "Who the fuck's that?" And then if I said Julia Garner, they probably shake their head and be like, "Who the fuck's that?" So that's where I'm coming from with that.
Yeah. You know, okay, so departure from tropes. You know what looks real fresh? And a final good look at, like, or not final, but, like, finally a good look at like, using technology, you know, this modern, like, cell phone world that we live in a movie, and especially a horror movie. Have you seen the trailer for Wounds?
No, what is that?
Dude.
Wounds. It's another Wounds. TV show.
No, it's a movie, dude. Starring...
Just checking.
It's starring Armie Hammer.
Oh, it's got Domino from Deadpool 2. And 50 Shades of Grey, Dakota Johnson.
Yep.
Armie Hammer. Looks... You know what's really crazy? Maybe you knew this, but you know like what his family owns?
He's the heir of Armie Hammer.
Like...
He's just rich as a motherfucker. That
we'll
guy.
Name him Armie Hammer.
It's like real creative guys. I bet that's like how they came up with their name for their company. Like, we have a strong, durable product. And it's like a man in a shop holding a hammer. What should we call this thing? Arm and hammer? Genius!
Somebody give my wife's pregnant. Promotion.
What should we name her? Name him. Army. Hammer.
We'll name him Estee Lauder. Johnson and Johnson.
But this looks great. I mean, for a while, I was wondering if Army Hammer was gonna like do anything that was really good outside of like his performance in what's it called?
Social Network.
The Social Network, which I almost feel like David Fincher is so good at making movies, he can take any shitty actor and make them really good. Because
that's probably true.
Yeah, because I mean.
Well, think about it. Like, Brad Pitt was what I just described before Seven. Like, he was just like a rom-com kind of dude. And
yeah. You know what I mean? Okay.
And then look at that. I mean, he brought out what Brad Pitt could really be.
He terraforms shitty actors into good actors.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting that. Well said. But hear me out. I think Armie Hammer is like a sane Tommy Wiseau.
Because
he's so rich, he could do whatever he wants, but at least he has common sense and what appears to be like decent hygiene and a head on his shoulders.
He was born with the looks to be in Hollywood. He looks great, but...
He looks like a Kennedy. Like, damn. Anyway.
Yeah, right?
Damn, not damn, but you
I'm
know what
straight,
I mean.
But Armie Hammer.
Damn.
Dang, girl.
It's uncanny, is what I should have just said. Not lead myself down that road. Anyway. I think I have come up with a very good horror idea. I've been thinking about this for the last couple weeks.
Are you going to shop it with the Publix?
Yeah, I'm gonna query it.
Right, elevator pitch, go.
It's 50 Shades of Grey. It's a three-parter, but it has no romance. It's all horror.
Okay, so it's 50 Shades of
Red. Yeah, the BDSM world. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And, like, where I think, well, at least people that talked about the book, the way that they talked about the book... Because the movies weren't like that. The movie, I watched the movie and I was like, you know, except for like maybe this 10 minutes, I could have watched this with my grandma. Like, there's just so much boring bullshit in those movies. Mm-hmm. I've seen them on every freaking Valentine's Day. And it's like, seriously.
The word porn does not translate to video.
I know.
Same.
Well, and then it's they were not... like, you know, male audience will love this for the porn of it. And there was none. I was like, dude, really? I mean, have you guys seen Basic Instinct? Like, this movie is not that great. It's on any level. And then they made three. I was like, dude, I would reboot this and push what was... you know, fantasized and labored over in the public and make that the movie. Because nobody ever told me about, like, the bullshit, like, that was attached to 50 Shades of Grey other than the crazy sex scenes and the ridiculous backstories of the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Which were pretty dark in the way that they panned out from what I was told. And I watched the movies and I was like, this is like one step short of like a B, like teen cabin movie or something like that. It's just not good. Whatever, though.
I feel like 50 Shades of Red could be a great, like, gore.
Is it two on the nose?
Slasher film? What?
Is it two on the nose?
No. Well, I mean, no. The title is, but
well, like,
I mean,
we could call it The Red Room, and then people would be like, oh, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. So it's the exact same story. So you have your Mr. Gray.
I think, but, like, a setup. Exact same setup. Everything else, throw it out.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is, like you have the Mr. Gray, or you have your rich playboy guy, right? And then he has these contracts with women, but it's like he's really killing them.
I'm thinking maybe we flip the script a little bit, though. He's the poor one with, like, the established persona in that world. And then the rich white lady has these desires, and she basically, you know, what is that called when you, like, kind of marry down? So she gets with this guy because he could fulfill that for her. And then,
oh, it's just like a little, you know, stay at home boy toy.
Yeah, thing. Like the pool boy compared to the, you know, CEO. And then she's like throwing herself into this because she thinks she's so powerful. And then we find out that he has mommy problems and he's kind of like a gold digger. He's killed women like this before. And then we get to the red room and she's stuck in there. It's like a Stephen King Gerald's game. See where I'm going with this? This is awesome.
Like, I dig it. Write it. Moving on.
in the office. Like, I could write a book with all the sales knowledge you guys don't know. Then do it. Do what? Write a book. The Salesman Journey by Michael Scott. Over 1 trillion sold. More than the Bible. The businessman. Okay. That's all he gets. All right.
Shifting gears. Ad Astra. What do you think of that?
I was not excited to watch it. I do like Brad Pitt, though. I mean, he is somebody that can do so many different things. Like, we kind of mentioned this before. There are actors that can do and are typecasted, and then there's actors that are not. I think the only thing he's typecasted for is for like the initial like casting note of good looking leading male, and that's probably it, because think of Ocean's 11 and think of Moneyball, not the same guy. Seven and Ad Astra, definitely not the same guy. I was not looking too forward to it, though, because I'm just weary of space movies. A lot of them just suck ass.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's got a good rating, and then I wasn't looking forward to it either. The trailer really doesn't do it for me.
No, and but the thing is, though, before you go into that, I heard a later note that apparently the director had achieved something like the most realistic space exploration on film is what was claimed.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. And then the big thing that makes me want to go see it, and I actually might go see this today, is the cinematographers, Hoyt Temma. I don't know how to say his name.
Oh, yeah.
He did Interstellar and Dunkirk and Her, you know? He's like a pretty big deal, you know?
I thought Wally Pfister did Interstellar.
Nope.
Nope. Oh, because he made that other movie that Nolan, what was that one with Johnny Depp, Transcendent or something? Dunkirk was good, wasn't it? We were talking about smart films the other day, and after we wrapped that up, I was like, oh, I should have said Dunkirk, because that was so smart. It was like such a simple idea. It was a history people already knew, but it made me want to not, it made me feel like I had no idea what was going on, was basically what happened. And I loved it.
Well, I think that was the idea, is it was like showing from the perspective of the soldiers the whole time. There was no great big perspective of like the war on the whole, you know, like, and they weren't the spoon feeding you this situation.
He did the fighter inspector too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, this guy's a fucking heavy hitter, dude.
Oh, and he did the original Let the Right One In. Have you seen that movie with the girl you don't like?
Probably not.
What's her name? The Carrie remake girl.
I'm
really good at this until I'm on here, and then I'm like, dude, what's her name? Kick-ass girl? Hit girl?
Yeah, I don't
know. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Either. Yeah. That's the one. I have not seen it. So they remade it?
They remade it. The remake wasn't bad. In fact, if you had never seen the original, you'd probably think it was really good. It had the kid that played the new Nightcrawler in it. And it's like a really different vampire story. But it was originally a film. Where was that? I think it's a Spanish film, if I'm not wrong. I remember getting it dubbed, so I didn't hear the original language. But you could just tell that this movie really just lives in how it was shot. And boy, was that done well. So he went from that to making some like really good American blockbusters.
We did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy as well. Dang. Guy's good. He's simple. That's what I like about it. And it, you know, that's what I try to emulate, you know, when I, cause everyone's getting so, with cinematography specifically in the younger generation, when you think about people under 30 that are getting into Hollywood, you know, their biggest influences come from YouTube, and everything's so complicated on YouTube, and everyone's trying to do all this crazy swooping shit and drones and everything under the sun with, you know, special equipment. And ironically, the reason why I got the job with the minimalists is they were like, we really liked your demo reel. You used none of the fancy shit. And I was like, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, because that was the point. I don't use drones. I don't use Steadicams. I use a tripod and my hand.
Whoa.
And I use window light. I use my hand, ladies. I'm just that good.
Ladies.
I make movies with women. I'm just simple,
I tell you. I'm not too complicated.
I'm a simple man. No,
I'll use my rig.
That's what you call it these days. Anyways. That's funny. What do you think about the Tenet?
Tenet, the new Chris Nolan movie?
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and I was like, what the fuck was that? It was like the first Interstellar trailer. I was like, okay, I gotta have to watch another trailer because I have no clue what's going on.
No, there's not a trailer.
There's a trailer. I saw it on a recent movie. It was like 30 seconds of like, I don't fucking know. It looked like a detective or something like that. He's looking at like through bullet holes and glass, and it's like really so abstract. I was like, wow, well, you got me. But he did that with Interstellar too. Like, he just shows Matthew McConaughey and you see a spaceship and him driving down the road. I have no clue.
Yeah,
it wasn't until the second trailer I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch that. So what do you think about this idea for a horror movie? I think I come up with horror movies because I'm so let down by horror movies the most, that I think that they need to be quickly improved upon in their genre. I think it's the most lacking genre of film. Didn't used to be, but it is now. I know, okay. Everything is freaking Annabelle. Somebody was pointing out, they're like, really? Like The Nun, The Conjuring, Annabelle? Like, are they making some dumb horror movie Justice League? Like, what are they doing here?
I don't know. I guess I've never really paid much attention to horror lately. And maybe that's just a symptom of it.
That's a bad sign. There's nothing to make you.
Yeah. It's like old horror movies are great.
I think they were going somewhere with found footage movies, and they just totally shit the bed. They're like, well, let's just make it because it's so cheap. But what they should have done is like, we could capitalize this and make a good story and make it cheap. Not just out everything we can.
It's interesting how, so you like, same thing happened on TV is like, you know, there was a huge era of reality TV because, you know, it's cheap to make, right? And then they just went crazy. Every channel was making a reality show and they all start to look the same and sound the same. Yeah, it's like, oh my god, like this is stupid.
Producer behind the camera like saying, hey, say something like that.
But then the internet comes along and they take they essentially make a microscopic version of reality TV, which is vlogging, you know? And it was like, okay, this is fresh. This is a fresh take on the same thing. And a lot of people like that, and they still go for it. It's more authentic, and it's small. And maybe their resurgence is coming along for horror at some point. It needs to be a rethinking of the genre.
I think what would be cool is if there was, like, something that switched back and forth between, like, 4 or 3 or 5 YouTubers, and they had their own style. So they could only record. They couldn't upload because they went somewhere for some sort of monetary gain to... And then wherever they get to has no internet, and the horror ensues. That part of the story needs to be worked on. But what I like about this is that it can be all found footage, and it leaves room for those newer cinematographers, because they could totally make it their own, and each one of those perspectives completely different.
Kind of like that. It's got legs, as they say.
It's got something to it.
It's got something. You got anything else? I'm Chuck. I'm dried up here. Chuck dry.
I thought we could talk about some of our favorites, unless you want to save that for another time.
I think this is a good sized little short tidbit. Jump on, have a nice little conversation for about 40 minutes.
All right. Well, we'll just tease them with that then, and
so save we're
that
talk for about favorites in any genre.
Well, yeah, like what about our favorites and why? Okay. And I think that'll leave a lot of room for a good episode.
Right on, dude. Well, it's been real.
It's been real, San Diego. It's been
real to real. All right. Well, if you like this, be sure to tune in on Saturday. We're gonna have an episode about Joker, right? Oh, no, wait.
Joker.
We already did that.
No, Rambo. Joker.
Rambo.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a really great conversation about Rambo, the history Stallone. Of Rambo and Stallone's career. And, yeah, if you want to see more movie news, check out our Facebook page, Flick of the Week on Facebook. And we have a blog. We have a blog now on Medium. So go to medium.com/Flick of the Week. And you'll find our blog. We're writing a lot of great little articles about easy reads, you know, under 10 minutes, like sometimes 3 to 5 minutes, about, you know, topical things, interesting our perspective on the Hollywood system. Mostly it's Nick, because he's a much better writer than I am.
I try. But
you try?
Here's the thing is, like, I'm not a very good reader, so I need your awesome pictures. So,
oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yin and the yang.
That's it.
Anyways, people, hope you enjoyed this. Very raw. There's no editing. Just Nick and Jordan having a chat.
Jordan and Nick.
Out.